The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 3. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Most of us are familiar, I think, with this gospel text. If you haven't been to church, you might have seen somebody holding up 316 at a baseball game. How many of you have John 3:16 memorized, or at some point in your life did? "For God so loved the world." There are countless choral anthems written about this lovely text. God so loved the world. But a part of this text that we don't often think about is Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a leader of the Jews. He was a teacher. He knew God. He knew God's word. He knew God's laws. But he didn't get Jesus. But the text kind of infers that Nicodemus and his other buddies did understand that Jesus was a teacher of some sorts. But he had to come to him by night, because for whatever reason, he didn't want to be seen with Jesus during the day. Imagine. Because Jesus was teaching something bold. Jesus was doing bold things. Healing proclaiming grace and mercy. The love of God, the kingdom of God, the reign of God had arrived. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. Is that when you ask Jesus your hard questions too? The things you don't want other people to know you're struggling with, you're wondering about, you're questioning God. Maybe you've been a teacher of the Bible, but still you wrestle with some of the hard questions. The why, or the how, or the what next? And come to Jesus by night. Have you gotten some answers that way? The answers that Nicodemus got weren't what he was expecting. Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Seems like all he's doing is presenting a compliment. And Jesus' answer doesn't seem to match the compliment. Jesus answered him, "Very truly, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And here's where my heart gets kind of sad. This verse has actually divided Christians. Has anybody asked you, have you been born again? We talked about this at the congregational resourcing event yesterday. You know, what do Lutherans say when someone asks them, are you born again? Do you say, yes, I was baptized as an infant or older, and I wake up and I drown myself in sin and I rise to newness of life with Christ every day? And I love my Jesus and I know my Jesus loves me. I have to say, I struggled with this as a teenager. My sister was 5 years older than I was, and she'd gone off to college. And she was convinced by a group of well-meaning Christians that her baptism wasn't enough. There wasn't enough grace in that baptism to save her. And she asked a whole bunch of Lutherans, and they couldn't give her a good answer. And so she became Southern Baptist. She loves Jesus her way, and we love Jesus our way. But how do we tell that story that others might believe? What do we hear from God in those dark places in our lives when we ask the hard questions? Do you hear God saying there is nothing in heaven or earth or above the earth or under the earth, nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God? Do you hear, my power is made perfect in weakness? Bring it. Bring me your weakness. I can do things with that. Do you hear the promises of Scripture? Because that's what Jesus is bringing. The promise of the Word, which is Jesus. The Word made flesh. Sent from God to be one of us, so he can communicate more clearly than God ever communicated with the prophets. And what he says is, for God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. Well, my sister came back home for break, and she's the one who came into my bedroom. Some of you have heard this story. And said, "Have you read the whole Bible? Because Jesus is coming back, and he's going to expect you to know all about him." So she scared me into reading the whole Bible as a seventh grader. A lot I could understand at that age. And I did. And I pulled my way through the Old Testament. I have no idea how. It was a Living Bible paraphrase translation from 1970s. But then I got into the New Testament and I started reading about Jesus. And it made so much sense. But still, my sister is influencing me and making me think I needed to be something else. And here's what I need to tell you, is you don't need to be something else. And so I made my commitment to Jesus, mostly because I was afraid of hell. But then I got obnoxious. And my mom and I went out to tend to the country cemetery we lived near. And so all in my new Christianity, superpower Christianity, I thought of my mother as an unbeliever. I said, "Mom, do you know where you're going after you die?" And she started crying. She said, "Have I not taken you to church your whole life?" You're baptized, and you belong to Jesus, and so do I. It is not our work to save ourselves. Nicodemus asks Jesus this silly question, "Should I go climb into my mother's womb again?" Silly. And I don't think your mother would have anything of that. Martin Luther's third article, the Apostles' Creed. "I believe that by my own understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him." Have you memorized these words at some point in your life? "I believe that by my own understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But instead, the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, made me holy, and kept me in the true faith, just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and makes holy the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one common true faith. Daily in this Christian church, the Holy Spirit abundantly forgives all sins, mine and those of all believers. On the last day, the Holy Spirit will raise me and all the dead, and will give to me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true." God sent his Son because God so loved the world. That is ours to proclaim. Not the judgment. Verse 17 says, indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world. So think about that. When you're thinking about somebody you don't like very much, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, claim your identity in Christ. In your baptism, you are named, claimed, and beloved of none other than Almighty God. Our speaker yesterday reminded us again from the Catechism, the second article. Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father in eternity, and also true man, being born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned human being. He has purchased and freed me from all sin, from death, and the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. He has done all this in order that I might belong to him, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead and lives and rules eternally. This is most certainly true. And our speaker reminded us, you know what that says? You are more precious than silver and gold to God. That God poured out the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, in order for you and me and the whole world to belong. You belong to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Take that good news. If that is good news, take that good news to those who need to hear it. Don't judge them to hell. That's not our job. Just give them the good news. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.